Don't know if you listen to Sunday sequence on a Sunday morning. I maybe like many catch snippets of it between other things. If you were listening this morning, there was an interesting discussion, which again I only heard snippets of, about people attending church and how it is that at this time of the year, as the presenter said, a minister can look down and see numbers of people who maybe haven't been there for quite a long time. Now, of course, that doesn't apply in Kilkeel. But anyway, it was an interesting discussion, and just by way of an amusing little introduction, if you listen to it, they played the little snippet by the comedian Rowan Atkinson, who did a little sketch on one occasion, and he was pretending to be a minister, and they were having a songs of praise, and of course the congregation was packed, the place was full, and before the thing started he said to them, "And it's great to see you here today, and you know what, you know how many were here last week? There were 7 here last week. And 4 of them were here because they thought it was the songs of praise. They didn't even mean to be there. They only came to get on television." And he went on like this. It was all very amusing. But when it got a bit more serious and they got rid of Rowan Atkinson, there was one of the people who was making a contribution who was saying, and they must have pulled this person in as an ordinary pundit from I don't know where, but they said, you know, what I think what happens is that people gather in church and then they go out. And what this person says, then we forget. We forget what has been said until we appear a month later or 6 weeks later or 2 months later. We forget. And I suppose I hope this morning, as we come to the end of 2 Peter, that we will not forget. It is so easy to forget. Although I suspect that not too many people will forget to buy a turkey for Christmas. Not too many people will forget to buy that present for the special person in their life. But we can so easily forget these things. This morning, as we think of this last part of 2 Peter, that is the sermon. Those 5 words. I know what some of you are thinking. Can you do just with the 5 words and announce the last hymn? No, a Presbyterian minister could never do such a thing. But that is the sermon this morning. Those 5 words. Diligent and assured and faithful and watchful and fruitful. Because I want to suggest to you this morning, and this is what I do not want you to forget, that those words in some ways summarize the last words of the Apostle Peter before he was taken out and he was martyred. He was killed. What awful thing had he done? Well, nothing more awful or less awful than to profess to be a follower of Jesus. He was killed and martyred in the cruel Neronian persecution that happened in the early 60s in and around Rome. And so this morning I want you to try and remember. And I want you to remember the closing words of a good man. And I want you to be able to remember these words as we go through this coming week. I'm not going to spend long on each of these, but I want you to notice what Peter says in verse 14. He says, "So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this," looking forward to what? Well, looking forward to the fact that Jesus is coming again. Here we are at Christmas time. We are remembering that he came the first time. But Christianity teaches that he's coming a second time. And Peter says, my dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort. And the idea behind those little words, make every effort, is be diligent. Be diligent. This is a phrase that is favoured, actually, by Peter. You can see it in different places in the little letter. And here he says, make every effort. If you glance back in your Bible, you'll see it, for example, in chapter 1, verse 5, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith all of these things. Verse 15 of the same chapter, and I will make every effort. What does it mean in plain English? Well, it means this. It means that you and I are called, if you are a professing believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are called when you go out the door today, not to be like that person that was on the radio who said, we just forget. We sit there for an hour and then we forget. At least they were honest. And I'm saying to you today, do not follow that example, but be diligent. Make every effort. What does Paul say? Make every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with him. Yes, of course it is possible to go out of the church door and say, well, that's it, over for another week. But that's not Christianity. Christianity calls us to go out and to live it out every day. In our homes, in our schools, in our places of work, in light of the coming again, to be diligent. That's the first thing. The second thing that he says is to be assured. Be assured. As somebody once said, and I'm sure you've heard people say it, and it's so true, a wee word of encouragement goes a long way. A wee word of encouragement goes a long way. And who knows this morning, but the person sitting beside you or the person sitting in front or behind you, all that they're actually looking for is a wee word of encouragement. And you would be surprised at how many people go from one week to another without any encouragement whatsoever. There are an awful lot of lonely and sad people in our country, believe it or not. And all they're looking for is a wee word of encouragement. So who can you go this week and give a wee word of encouragement to? Peter encourages these believers about something. Verse 15, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. You see, there were people who were saying, the Lord hasn't come back yet. Is it ever going to happen? I don't think it's ever going to happen. And we've had this before, earlier in the chapter. And Peter is saying, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. The Lord hasn't come back yet. Why? Because the Lord is patient. The Lord is patient, not wanting anyone to come to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Folks, do we hear that? Do we really hear that this morning? That God is not wanting anyone to perish, but that all would come to believe the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will always be the scoffers and the cynics who paint caricatures of God as a kind of a loveless tyrant in the sky. But what Peter has been teaching here about the Lord and his patience and his love and his mercy and his kindness and his goodness really throws a massive spanner in that works. Be assured this morning that any seeming delay in the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ is because of his mercy. And yet you are here this morning, and you are in a position where you have yet not responded to the gospel. And I say to you again, why not? And I say to you again, in light of this passage, there are still some within earshot of this very sermon that is being preached, and you have still not yet come in repentance and faith to Jesus. God is very patient, and God calls you even this morning, in the stillness and in the moment of this sermon, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Brother and sister, are you discouraged this morning? Do you need a wee bit of encouragement? Do you need a wee bit of assurance? Well, here it is. Bear in mind, says Peter, that our Lord's patience means salvation. We live in a very sceptical age. We live in a country, bear this in mind, where there are many people who have really no time for the gospel. But you know what's happening in other parts of the world? People are flocking to Jesus. I heard recently of a report of a situation, and I cannot go into all the details, but a situation, we'll say, in a very broad sense, in the Middle East. We're in the midst of the chaos of what is happening there, that many, many people are coming to Jesus. Do not be put off by the cynicism of this world and the cynicism of your friends and the skepticism of this nation in which we live. God is still at work. God is still building his church. So be assured. And the third thing is, be faithful. Be faithful. I wonder, have you ever, at this time of the year, found that as I was praying, you had 101 things to do, and the one thing that gets squeezed out is time to be alone with God and to read the Bible. Have you ever discovered that at this time of the year? I suspect that many of you have. Well, let me encourage you to carve out time. Why? Because we're dealing here with the Scriptures. Notice what Peter says in verse 15 and 16. He says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave to him. He writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort, as they do the other Scriptures, to their own destruction. This is a really interesting part of the Bible, because Peter speaks here not only of the fact that what he is writing is of God, but he refers to the Apostle Paul and the letters that we have in our Bible that he had written. And Peter here refers to his brother Paul, our dear brother Paul. I'm sure you're aware that at one stage, Paul and Peter had a bit of an argument. They had a bit of a fallout, but they had been reconciled. And that's a lovely picture. Whenever brothers and sisters, and at times, sometimes maybe there's a bit of a fallout, but by the grace of God, we get together again. And we embrace, and we are reconciled. That's the way it ought to be. And Peter here speaks movingly of his dear brother Paul and the Scriptures that Paul had written. And he says to his brothers and sisters, I want you not to follow others who are distorting these things, but I want you to follow the plain teaching of what has been given to you. So brother and sister, let me encourage you in a very practical way. Yes, you've got 101 things to do this week. But will one of those things be each and every day, whether it's at the start of the day or the close of the day, to carve out time to sit down and to take your Bible and to open it and to receive it as the wisdom of God and the Word of God and to read it and to meditate upon it? I'm not asking you to sit for an hour doing it, but But would you be able to find 5 minutes each day to do that? Would you be able to find 10 minutes? I'm sure you would. Why? Because this is the Word of God. These are the scriptures that have been given to us, breathed of God, wisdom from heaven. So be faithful and carve out that time to read the Word. The fourth thing that Peter says is be watchful. Notice what he says in verse 17. He says, "Dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position." Our Lord Jesus Christ taught the same thing. You remember in Mark's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 5 and verse 33, for example, Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Be on your guard. Be alert. Be alert." Peter has been speaking here of those who were distorting the Word of God. He's been speaking of people who were, in one sense, claiming to be followers of God and of Jesus Christ. But they were lawless men. They were, some of them saying, "Well, yes, you can follow Jesus and live any old way." And their behavior was unbecoming. And Peter says to these dear brothers and sisters, be on your guard. Be on your guard. But the last thing that I want you to notice, and I want to just take a moment on this, is the fifth thing is that we are to be fruitful. And in many, many ways, and again, folks, I want you to think about this. These are the last words of the Apostle Peter. Shortly after Peter penned these words and proclaimed these words, he was taken out and he was martyred. The closing and final words of anybody are very, very important. And the dying words of anyone are extremely important. And Peter's dying words, if you like, are these. 2 Peter 3 and 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forevermore." And I just want to say a couple of things about this before I finish. And the first thing I think is really, really important. That if we are going to be fruitful and if we are going to grow in grace, then it will only happen if, first and foremost, there is life within us. Like it's a given in the physical, material world that things only grow if there's life. And we will only grow as Christian people if there is life. And in many ways, that undergirds all that I've said already. Being a Christian means receiving the life of God into our lives and into our hearts. And this brings us to the very heart, the very essence of the message of the Reformed faith and indeed of the Christian faith. Yes, the message has been abused and misused. Yes, it has been caricatured and mocked. But we cannot escape those searching words of Jesus to Nicodemus when he said, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." You should not be surprised at me saying, Nicodemus, you must be born again. The late Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, commenting on this verse, said this: "The gospel never comes to a man who is not a Christian to tell him to live a better life. That is, in a sense, a denial of the gospel. The gospel never calls upon an unregenerate man or woman to improve himself or make himself better. That is morality, not Christianity." And what the gospel does, and you know this, folks, the gospel comes first and foremost and says to us, "You must be born again. You must receive the life of God into your life. Use whatever words you want to. Use whatever phrases you want to. It doesn't really matter to me, as long as the message goes out that we need the new birth. We cannot grow without the life of God, to put it very simply. And when we do experience the new birth, that new birth, that new life will lead to growth. And if there's no growth, then it brings into question if there's any life. So can I respectfully and lovingly and humbly say to you this morning, as you look at your own life, and the scriptures teach us to examine our hearts to see whether we're in the faith, and maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, goodness, I'm not 100% if I have ever been born of God. And what I would say to you today is this. If you're not sure about that, well then what you need to do is you need to go home and you need to get on your knees and cry unto God to work in your heart, to give you that new life. And God will. But if you're a believer this morning, I'm not suggesting any of us are perfect. We're far from perfect. Absolutely. But we need to be growing to some extent. And how do we grow? Well, we can't make ourselves grow, but we can do certain things to help us to grow. What are some of those things? Well, this is not rocket science. We don't neglect the Word of God. It's food for the soul. It's food for the soul. Brother and sister, how many times have you and I experienced in our lives that the times when we've neglected the Word of God, after a day or two or a week or whatever, things begin to go a bit pear-shaped, don't they? Why is that? It's because we've neglected the food for the soul. If you neglect it, your plate of spuds and meat and veg for a week, you'd be feeling pretty weak after a week. And it's the same with the Word of God. If you neglect the food for the soul, don't expect to be too strong. What about the place of prayer? Again, it's the same. Don't neglect to wait upon the Lord. And can I encourage you, and I do encourage you, over this Christmas time, and I understand that for many people it's a very, very busy time, but can I say to you, you will feel the better for it if even before you rush out the door each morning to do what you have to do, if you can carve out a minute or two to be still in the presence of the Lord and say, Lord, I commit this day to you. Come and cleanse me afresh. Fill me afresh with your Spirit and give me the grace for this new day. Attendance to the preaching and teaching of the Word of God and the Lord's Supper. Reading good Christian books is another thing that will help you to grow. And I'm not just talking about Christian fiction. I'm sure the Christian fiction is very good. But don't confine yourself to reading Christian fictional books. Go out and get a good, substantial Christian book and read it. Faith Mission bookshops full of them. And if you're not, so there you are. If you're not sure what you want at Santa Claus to bring you, tell him to bring you a good Christian book. And if you want a bit of guidance, if you want me to tell Santa Claus what book to bring you, well, send them to me and I'll tell them. And the last thing I would say is rest. For children, we saw the children there and we're hoping that they're growing well, and I'm sure they are. It's important for a little child not only to eat well, and play well, and think well, but rest well, isn't it? And brother and sister, sometimes we don't rest. And I'm not just talking about literally going to our bed at night and resting. I'm not just talking about that. I'm also talking about the fact that there's such a thing as resting in the fact that you're accepted in Jesus. You're justified by faith, not by works. Develop what I would describe as the rest of faith. Rest in God. Throw yourself back into the arms of God and just say, Lord, thank you, I'm your child. Even though things are going a bit pear-shaped, I'm still your child, and I can rest in you, and I don't have to go through life trying to sort out all the problems. I just leave it with you. and recline in the arms of God. My time has gone, but I do finish with this. And I'm sure I've quoted this to you before. It's interesting that the last words, and literally the last book that John Stott put together, was called The Last Word. And in it, he says this, and I finish with this, and time has gone, sorry. I want to share with you where my mind has come to rest as I approach the end of my pilgrimage on earth. And it is this. God wants his people to become like Christ. For Christ-likeness is the will of God for the people of God. Peter's final words to the Christians in first century Rome were these: grow in grace. And those are his final words to Christians today in 21st century Kilkeele. So today, as you go out through that door in a minute or two, don't forget, but by the grace of God, grow in grace.